All right, we're continuing our sermon series on the Christian road today, and we've already looked at the road back to God. That's the road of repentance. Last week, we looked at the road of the cross. Take up your cross and follow me. And today, I'd like to look with you at this. The Christian road, is it a lonely road? Is it a road that we at times have to walk alone? What does God teach us about that today? You ever feel lonely on your Christian life? You ever feel like you're all alone as you're going, following the Lord Jesus? Well, let's talk about that today and see what good words God has for us about loneliness and the aloneness of the Christian path. Is it indeed a lonely one and one we must walk alone at times? Let's understand that today and the good word God has to refresh us in Christ. As we start, let's think about the beginning. When God created us, what did he create us for? Did he design us and put us together to be alone and lonely? Is that what he had in mind when he created man? No, of course, if you look in Genesis, he made God and man to be together in a perfect fellowship, a very close, intimate friendship. Because remember, there was no sin to separate them, so God made us for a great fellowship with himself. God walking with Adam in the garden with a joy and a peace and a great intimacy together as friends. Now, that's only part of it though, right? Because even though Adam and God were together and walked together in friendship and fellowship and joy, we also know that though God saw everything was good, he also saw that there's something not good here in the garden, says the Lord. Something not right. Even with a perfect man and a perfect God in perfect friendship, something is missing, says the Lord. It's not good. It's not good what? That the man should be alone. I'm going to make a helper fit for him. So here's the man. Here's the woman. I take the woman out of the man. I'm going to bring her to the man, and I'm going to put them together so that they can be one. So we have fellowship first with God, and secondly, we were made for fellowship with each other. And the man, when he saw the woman, finally, what did he say? The man goes, "This at last." Say the words "at last." "At last." "Whoa, man." No, he said, he goes, "Wow, at last. You know, God, you and I were friends, but I was longing for something. I was missing something. I was desiring and craving something, but now I'm completely fulfilled with you first, God, and now I have the woman, another human being to love." And so God made us, okay, number one, for fellowship with himself and with other human beings, especially the man for his wife, but also for a fellowship with other people. What happened to that fellowship there in the garden? You know, of course, man and God were walking in perfect fellowship, and then they sinned and broke the relationship. So what happened there is a great distance appeared, because what happened? As soon as Adam sinned, God's walking in the garden, and he went and hid himself. "I need to be away, and I'm lonely for God because I've sinned. I'm now broken in that friendship with God. Oh no, a great distance has come." Not only so, but that second thing for which we were made, the fellowship with man, another human being, that is, man and his wife, was broken for what happened. As soon as they sinned, the man went and hid himself, and the woman went and hid herself because they were both naked before God, naked before each other, and ashamed. So notice how sin breaks both of those fellowships. But we were designed, friends. We were created for fellowship. First with God, second for fellowship with each other. And at that sin in the garden, and ever since, for all the centuries since, because sin is still in the world, we lost everything. We lost fellowship with God. We lost fellowship with each other. Both of these on account of sin. And man became a lonely, alone creature. And you've all felt that, right? You've all felt alone and lonely through your life. And it is so terrible. Is there anything worse in all the world than being alone? So what did God do for us when that happens? Of course, we know that God worked to restore that, to mend what was broken, to bring the fellowship back together. Let's read that over here in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, here we go. We read, "And you who were once estranged," say estranged,
estranged,
"strangers from God," right, "and hostile, doing evil deeds, God, through Christ, is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him. That is, in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Christ to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." So what do we have? We were broken. We lost fellowship. Christ comes and brings it back together again. And better than ever before, actually. Even better than before they'd fallen, because it's almost like he puts super glue, epoxy here. It's even better than before, because now we have fellowship with God with an eternal covenant, a new one, through his blood, a perfect, mighty salvation. We have fellowship with God. And then we also, Christ came to make fellowship also again with each other, to bring us together. And how does he do that? He says, it says that Jesus died for the Jews, the nation that is, and not for the nation of Jews only, but to gather into one all the children of God who are scattered abroad. And so there shall be one flock and one shepherd, declares Jesus. So he brings us into fellowship with each other too. We're in a fellowship today. And we have that in Christ. We also work on that all the time through forgiving each other. For as the Lord has forgiven you, you must forgive each other. And then he binds us together in this beautiful fellowship through love, which we put on, which binds everything, says Paul, together in perfect harmony. So we were created for fellowship and designed for it. We broke it. God restored it. Amen. Are we done with the sermon? You know me better than that, don't you? Hold your horses. Horses, rein them in. Not so fast. Because not everything is fixed. Not everything is all right again yet. Even though, yeah, Christ restored fellowship with God for us, friendship, fellowship with each other in the church, praise God, but something's still rotten in the state of Denmark. Something is still missing. What is it? You know, what Christ has done is only partly done for us, because we're not yet in heaven or the world to come. In this world, still we will face a loneliness and apartness, an aloneness in this world, because we're between two worlds. And the effects of sin are still at work, as you know, in the world and to some degree in our own lives. So Jesus, when he calls us to the Christian road, come out and follow me, we need to also understand today that he's calling us to also, as well as fellowship, that's number one, but also to an alone road, and at times a very lonely road as Christians. Have you guys experienced that? A very great aloneness and loneliness about the Christian life at times? It's okay. It's what we all experience. But let's understand why. In what way does Jesus call us, when he calls us to be his own, to be walking an alone road and a lonely road as a Christian, a lonesome path? Well, Jesus says this. Well, let's open it up here, actually, in John 15. Jesus says, "I call you, my disciples, out of the world to be my own." And John 15, verse 19, he says, "If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." It will hate you. It's going to persecute you. They're going to put you out of the synagogues. They're going to put you out of fellowship with themselves. They're going to cast you off. You're going to be all alone if you follow me. They might even put you to death. There's a brokenness of fellowship when we come into fellowship with Christ. Amen? Jesus says, if you would be mine, and I call you to myself, and you become mine, that means, friends, here's the tough part, you're going to have to break fellowship with the world, which is the great mass of humanity that are out there who are still living in sin. In other words, I've redeemed the entire earth, everyone, but not all man would have that. Many reject me. They still want to live as my enemies, and therefore if they're my enemies, they will be your enemies too. And you can't be friends with two different worlds. If you're friends with me, then you're not going to be friends with the world. If you're friends with the world, then you're not going to be friends with me. James says in his letter, friendship with the world is enmity with God. And of course, friendship with God is enmity with the world. And so Jesus says, when I call you out of the world to be my own, there are other fellowships and communions you're going to have to break, and you're going to have to be willing to be cast off by them and sometimes be all alone and lonesome in the world because of me. You ever experienced that in your lives? I know in my growing up years, I don't know, I wasn't a great Christian or anything, but I think God's hand was heavy upon me, because growing up, I just got to tell you, I did not mesh with my generation at all. I kind of hated their music, and I was not into the drinking and partying atmosphere, which means when I went to college, you know what that's like if you've been there, come a Friday night, I was all alone. Everybody else went out to the party at the fraternity or whatever it was. And I remember going there once and thinking, why on earth would anybody want to go here? It's just like this dark pit. It was smelled. It was just, the music was killing my ears. Music I didn't like, by the way. I remember just thinking, even in those days, I was like, this is like a pit of demons. I mean, this is terrible. And I would go on these long walks alone with the Lord, or out to a park. There was a mountain with this big cliff, and I'd go out and pray there sometimes with the Lord. It was lonely. I didn't want to be in the other company, but on the other hand, I was also alone, and I had nobody. Pretty much, I was the only Christian I knew in college, at that college, at the time. It was very alone. And on a Sunday morning, on a cold winter's night day, I remember I would get up and walk down the Great Cliff to Easton, Pennsylvania, to go to a church there. I was the only person up. Everybody else was with hangovers and covered with old, cold, frozen pizza and beer. Anyway, it's lonely, I'm telling you. It's lonely and a lonesome road sometimes to be a Christian. When I was on sailing ships after college, that was also tough, because imagine this. Now I'm on a ship that's only 120-some feet long. I'm at sea for a week or so, or sometimes several weeks, and all I see is water, water, water everywhere. The only thing in the world, the only thing was the world, was this tiny little ship. That was the world to me, and I was the only Christian aboard. Imagine being the only Christian in the world, is how I felt. And the furthest you can get away from anybody there is about 100 feet. So that's tough to be surrounded. Then I went to seminary. Three of them, by the way, but the liberal one I went to for a year, the ELCA seminary down there in Pennsylvania. I thought it was a Bible-believing denomination when I got there. Man, did I find I was a fish out of water. I learned, like, on the first day, oh boy, Greg, you're the only person here who believes the Bible is God's inerrant, without error word. You're the only person who believes Jesus is the only way to salvation. And you're the only person here confessing it's faith alone in Jesus Christ that saves. So what did I feel like? I'll just tell you, it felt like I was in a wolf den, literally. I felt like everybody else was going, and I was going, bah, bah. I'm like, something here not connecting. And I was like, whoa, this is a lonesome road, a troublesome road, a scary road, a very alone walk and road that I had there with the Lord. You ever feel like that in life? Like you're the only person for the Lord and everybody else is somewhere else and you're not in that company? Well, if you feel that way and you feel alone today in that, rejoice at least in this, that you're in good company if you're alone. Because Jeremiah felt the same. He said in Jeremiah 15, I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because thy hand was heavy upon me. Remember, we just read there, good job, Jeff, in reading it. He says, all my familiar friends are looking for my downfall. Terror on every side. Everybody's hoping to destroy me. That's the way he felt. The only man in Jerusalem standing for Jesus, everybody else for the devil in his days. Elijah felt alone too, remember? One guy standing against 400 prophets of Baal in a contest. After he wins the contest, because God was with him, Queen Jezebel is like, God do more so to me and more also if I don't have your head off to by tomorrow? Elijah runs away and he cries to God, God, they've killed the prophets, they've demolished the altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. I'm the only one, he cried out to God. Moses, when he went against Pharaoh, stood alone. Paul stood alone when he was facing that angry mob of killers, remember, in Jerusalem, and he held out his hand, addressed them in the Hebrew language, and he basically said, I stand for Jesus, and God has sent me to bring in the Gentiles. And they all cried out in a mass, away with such a fellow from the earth. He ought not to live. Paul felt alone. And, of course, Jesus felt alone pretty much his whole life because he had to stand against all the massive evil of society and the devils. And even his disciples forsook him and fled at the end. And he had to say, I stand alone, but the Father is with me. And so, to be for Christ, here's my point, to be for Christ and to walk the Christian road at times in this life is a very lonesome road. It's a path you must walk alone at times. Not always, but at times. So here's the question. What's God do to help us with this? Does he just say, well, sorry, it's the way it is, tough, do your best? Or does he send us a remedy and a little help? Well, he sends us not a little help, friends. He sends you a lot of help. And where is that help found? In Christians, in fellow Christians. Because when you're alone in the world, we're there over there and you're over here. Guess what? In this church, in this place, you find people who have the same King Jesus, who believe he is the only Savior, who love his word, and who share your King and your salvation and your viewpoint. Isn't that the sweetest help that God can afford us? Namely, to send us a friend to walk through life with. We don't get a lot of them sometimes compared to the great mass of people in the world, but he gives us enough for good refreshments. Remember David. David was quite alone in his life. In Psalm 25, he says, turn thou to me, O God, be gracious to me, for I'm lonely and afflicted. And consider how many are my foes, with what violent hatred they hate me. In other words, David, for much of his life, was completely surrounded. Remember when he was in Saul's house, King Saul? And King Saul was jealous of David. He wanted to kill David. He was treacherously conspiring a time to throw a spear at him and kill him. And David was surrounded. Nobody was for David except for one man that God sent to be a comfort and a friend, Jonathan, the king's own son. And David and Jonathan's hearts were mixed together. They were knit together as the best and closest of friends. Such that when King Saul's ready to conspire and kill David, Jonathan goes in, finds out the plot, and gets David out of there and says, David, you gotta run. And David and Jonathan embrace and weep on each other's arms, and Jonathan sends him off. Friends, there are friends who pretend to be friends, says Proverbs, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Do you have friends like this that God has sent to you to make your journey refreshed, to walk with you in the alone times of the world? See, there's someone calling right now. You get a friend in Pennsylvania too. Remember that story. The best humor comes that I don't even plan it. In college, guys, when I was in college and I was all alone and felt very lonely. You know, in the fourth year, I did actually find some other Christians on the campus, about seven of them. Had a little bit of refreshment a couple of times we got together. On the ships, likewise, after college, I was all alone, the only Christian in the whole world, horizon to horizon. But on the Californian, God sent me a guy named Don Kiecki. God bless you, Don. We had great conversations there of Christ and the Bible at sea. On the Spirit of Massachusetts, God sent me a friend named Ben who became my best man. You've met him from England. And he and I asked the captain if we could, at sea one spring, lead an Easter service for the whole ship's company. We got permission. We led an Easter service for everybody aboard, and we proclaimed to them the gospel. It's so great to have a friend like Jonathan, like Don, like Ben. Even when I was at the ELCA seminary, boy, was that a tough year, I'll tell you. And, you know, I'm just baying like a sheep. They're howling like wolves. And the whole first semester, I was the only Bible believer I knew. Second semester, I found a guy also hiding in the shadows, slipping under the cracks, through the cracks, named Brian Palmer. And he is also a Bible believer. And boy, did we have sweet communion and encouragements and Bible studies together along life's tough journey and highway. And Beth, likewise, actually found his wife. Her name was Christine. And Beth was, met her literally, was like, she's like, I got kicked, Beth says, I got kicked out of the women's Bible study for quoting the Bible. I just quoted scripture. Christine was like, me too. And they became best of friends. It's amazing. God gives us friends, and he gives you friends here at Christ Lutheran. We can walk together, and this is an encouragement to you in the loneliness and the aloneness of the Christian life, that you are also in a great company, that you have a good fellowship and friendship here to walk with you and march to Zion together. But next point is, as great as that is, as great as it is, you know, that remedy's not 100% for us, Christian fellowship. You know why? In every case, because, watch this, at times, God is even going to call you, Jesus will call you, out and away from Christian company to stand alone at times in your life for various reasons. Sometimes to be refreshed. Come away with me to a lonely place and rest a while, says the Lord. Just you and me, let's get out there and I'll refresh you. Other times to speak to you. Like on a chilly night long ago, Abraham was called by God away from the company of others. Come outside with me, Abraham. Look at all these stars. I'm going to make your descendants as many as these stars above you for multitude. He gave him promises. Do you know that God never spoke a word to Abraham in the company of other men that we know of? Only when they were alone outside. And God will call you at times in your life. Listen. To stand alone against your enemies, whatever challenges you face, and against all dangers. Really? Yeah, he will. Remember Jonathan and David? They were close friends. Jonathan warns David, you gotta flee, my dad wants to kill you. And then Jonathan could not go with David when he fled. David had to run away alone. Just him alone. And then also, David had to face Goliath alone. He had to leave all the company of Israel and all the army of God behind him and stand alone against Goliath in his own, well, in the strength alone. Why? That's the big question. Does God call you at times away from even Christian company to stand alone even against your greatest adversaries, enemies, and foes? You know what the answer is? This is the cool part. God is calling you out, alone, even apart from Christian company, because I want to get the fellowship with you. Father and Son alone. And the only way we can really do that, ultimately, is when I have you alone. When you alone are standing against Goliath, then you're going to know that I'm with you like you've never known before. This is the one to remember. If you're writing something down, God calls you out to be alone, that you might learn that you are never alone, that he is always with you, he's always faithful, he will never leave you, he will never forsake you, and you will find out when you are alone, standing alone with him, that he is sufficient to be with you, to give you the victory, and to know that fellowship better than ever. You know, when I was at the ELCA seminary, and Brian and I had a great fellowship. We were believers. Eventually, charges were brought up against me by my supervising pastor saying, this guy believes the Bible is God's word without error. Jesus is the only way to heaven, and salvation is only through faith in Jesus Christ. And he sent me up to the seminary to be interrogated by a bunch of professors and the assistants of the bishop. What did Brian, my good friend, do at that time? Hey, Greg, I can't go with you. Hope it goes great. I'll be praying for you. You know, I had to go up there alone. He was with me in spirit, you could say, but I had to stand there alone. And you know what? That was one of the best experiences of my life, to be surrounded, if you will, by people coming against me for my faith, just opening up the Bible and saying, this is what I believe. God stood with me and gave me the victory. He calls you out to be alone at times, to face even like surgeries. Beth has gone in sometimes to surgery. I can't go with you, Beth, but God will go with you. He's going to be with you in that room. And she comes out, she goes in singing a song. She comes out singing his victory. God was with me in that room alone. Moses had to face Pharaoh alone, but he learned that God was with him and gave him the victory. Elijah was alone and ran away alone, but he learned that God was with him to give him the victory. Daniel had to go alone into the lion's den, but he learned God was with me and gave me the victory. Paul preached at Ephesus alone and was attacked by like 1,000-1 odds. He says, at my first offense, no one took my part. Everybody deserted me. I was alone. But the Lord stood by me, he says, and gave me strength to proclaim the word fully, that all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth, and the Lord will rescue me from every evil and save me for his heavenly kingdom. God calls us to be alone at times in our Christian walk, friends, because he wants you to know that you're never alone. That's the time when he's going to show you, I am with you and never fail you nor forsake you. Even to the close of the age. That means to the end of the world. And one day, friends, we're going to ultimately have to do something alone that we're really scared of. Face death. Leave this world. And nobody's going to be able to go with you through that corridor, that door, cross that river. It's going to be you alone. But you're not going to be alone. God says, but I will be with you. I won't fail you or forsake you. In Christ, I'm faithful to you. Yes, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. Why? Because I am the Lord, Yahweh, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Friends, God wants to work on the fellowship of the company of the saints. That's us. We have that refreshment. But he also calls us out to be alone, to be refreshed in our fellowship with him and know him the best. And he does that for us. And the good news is that our Savior, Jesus Christ, understands your aloneness. And when you feel lonely in your lives at times, he says, I understand. He told the apostles in John 16, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, every man to his home, and you will leave me alone, all alone, the only man on the earth. He says, yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. And Jesus went to that cross alone, but the Father was with him. And there he bore your griefs and carried our sorrows, was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. With his stripes we are healed, and the Lord has laid upon him the sins of us all. Why? Because there he wanted to restore the fellowship between God and man marvelously, and then to give us a fellowship with one another in the church, and that into forever in his kingdom. So in conclusion, we already have these things in part, and we're enjoying that fellowship with God and with each other, but we don't yet have it in full measure. That comes when the Lord comes, when he removes all sin forever, and it'll be a happily forever after with him and his kingdom. As Jesus told his apostles, I'm going away for a time, and you won't see me, but then I'm going to come again, and you will see me. And I'm going to then come and take you to be where I am and my place, and there to be with me forever. And when you see me again, no one will be able to take your joy from you on that day. Your joy will be full, and that into eternity. So God is with you today, friends. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you in Christ. If your road is alone, that's okay. It was alone for Christ and for the rest. But God is with you. We're with each other, and we have a happily ever after where you will be perfectly fulfilled. And say with Adam, at last, at last, at last. Yes, finally, I have it. Perfect fellowship. Friendship with God and with each other into forever. In Jesus' name.